Thank you. I'm taking us off mute.
Okay, it's working.
Okay. Good evening, everyone. It is February 17th, 2021. In compliance with the Open Public Meeting Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice has been posted at the Municipal Building and distributed to the Huntington Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Huntington County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. Would you all please rise for the flag salute, followed by a moment of silence in honor of our first responders, our healthcare heroes, and our servicemen and women.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America.
One nation, under God,
indivisible, liberty, and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay, presentation of minutes. You'll see that the minutes for the January 6th reorganization meeting are tabled. That's a big stack, and it's still underway. The minutes for the regular and executive session meetings of February 3rd, 2021 are before us. Any comments, corrections? Seeing none, is there a motion to adopt the minutes for the regular meeting and special and executive meeting on February 3rd, 2021?
I'll make a motion to approve the February 3rd, 2021 regular and executive session meeting minutes.
Second.
Second.
Who seconded first? Just for Karen to figure out. Tom, did you? I think I heard you first.
I think it was Tom. Okay. I think Tom beat me to it.
Okay, roll call.
I'll slow down a little bit now.
Roll call, yes.
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 Yes. Yes. Okay, you'll notice we have a rather thin agenda tonight, but when we get down to it, you'll see we have a big voucher list, so that's the major item for tonight's agenda. We will now open the meeting for public comment, limited to agenda items only, reminding everyone that this meeting is recorded and will be posted on the website, and you'll need to press star 6 to unmute yourself to make a comment. Is there a motion to open the public comment?
I make a motion to open the public comment. Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. At this time, if any member of the public would like to make a comment on items that are posted on the agenda, please, again, press star 6 to unmute yourself, identify your name and the road you live on. We're not hearing anyone making any comment.
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Second.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, we have no ordinances, no resolutions, no old business, unless anyone has any old business that we're not aware of. And that will take us to the administrator's report.
Okay, with regards to the ethics training, I spoke to the risk consultant, and he's good to come in near the end of March, middle of March, end of March, and maybe in the beginning of April. So I will stay in touch, and I will see when he can come in to do it. What date's good for you guys as well?
Could I just suggest, given the extra meetings we're having in March, probably early?
Yeah, I was actually very good. I actually thought of that before. Whatever meetings you have in the budget, he'll come in an hour early. I'll set up the dates. I know you gave dates for the last meeting. As you know, with the COVID, it's been very difficult to coordinate any type of a staff meeting, so now that we have a Zoom account, I could probably do some of the staff meetings by Zoom. So that, I think that would, you know, really pretty much work out. This is a question for the Township Committee. I continue to get phone calls, and I'm responding back with regards to the Township sign out front. I went out to get 3 quotes, and nothing has transpired since. So do you want to you want me to continue with the Township sign? The one quote I got was from KC Awnings, which is, I think, $8,395. And the other one was from Lumark, which was for $13,285.
I mean, I don't think we've been presented with the design. And
what I'll do is I'll get you that information, and you guys decide how you want to move forward, okay. The Township Committee.
Actually, I mean, I should we have a subcommittee to work with you and kind of
I think that would be good, because
they have a price. Did they give us a design on it, a layout?
Here's what I can give you. They gave me a design, the layout.
Okay.
And I sent each one of them the specs, so it would be apples to apples instead of oranges to oranges.
Okay.
I mean, apples and oranges. So I gave them the specs, and I did a spreadsheet, which I'll send to every single committee member.
Why don't you send that to all of us, and we can decide
all right.
if we know what we want or if we need to...
To modify it.
Yeah. Okay. Back in December, I applied for a statewide insurance fund and risk control grant, and it was very difficult because a lot of the grants that they, you know, we would get would be, you know, body armor for the police, stuff like that, that we get grants for. So I figured I'd give the municipal ionizer a shot, and they approved it. And they approved it for $2,019, so we will get... I sent them a copy of the check, and they're going to be cutting us a check for reimbursement on behalf of the municipal ionizer. So, IT assessment, Intrepid Solutions was in town hall over the last 2 weeks, and they were doing assessments of each department with regards to the computers, and I should have the assessment back by next week sometime. Also, I've been working on... with the OEM director, the hazard mitigation plan that the county wants us to complete, which is, you know, it's basically point of contact, recent anticipated new development, capability assessment, hazard event history. That has to be updated. It wasn't updated since 2016. So I've been working on that with our OEM director, and hopefully we have that complete very shortly. And we should be up to date from that point on. That's it.
Very good. That takes us to new business. The first item of new business, as discussed last week, the fire official has not had a change in his wage rate. The position, I don't believe, has had a change since 2014, and our current fire official had retired and had rejoined us in beginning of 2017. So... the proposal that's been provided to the committee would be to increase the wage rate at the same rate that was negotiated with the CWA contract. That would take, compounding that rate up. The CFO provided the numbers that the current hourly rate would go from $25.19 to $28.57. The other action that I would propose or request or see if the committee wanted to make a motion for would be to provide retroactive pay to the fire official from his date of hire in 2017 at the compounded rate of the CWA increase for 2017, 18, 19, 20. Any discussion on that? Or would there be a motion to increase the wage rate for the fire official up to $28.57 and to provide retroactive pay since his date of hire?
That follows suit to what we've been doing.
That's consistent. Pretty much uniform across all the employees, non-police employees.
I make that motion then to retroactively pay with the pay increase to what number was that again?
$28.57. I'll second it.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Last meeting, we also discussed that the fire official is occasionally out of town, and one of the time pressing issues, he does, there's a lot of roles of the fire official, but for real estate transactions, he does an inspection of homes, and so as not to delay real estate transactions, he suggested that we hire a fire inspector, which is under the state codes, he's the person who would report to the fire official. We advertised for the 10 days that are required, and we've received a qualified applicant, David Sulpe, who happens to also be the chief of our Lebanon Township Volunteer Fire Department. The committee is provided with his resume, his certification as a fire official, and there was an email endorsement sent by, I'm sorry, as fire inspector. There was an email sent by Gary Apgar, the township's fire official, with a strong endorsement that he meets the qualifications and supports hiring David Sulpe. And then the last question for the committee is whether we would pay him at the same rate as we just agreed to for the fire official, the rate of $28.57 per hour. Any discussion?
I have well, no problem with the rate, you know, giving him the current rate, because it would be same qualifications, basically same work. What I'm wondering is, if the current fire official were to ever retire, would that work count as added work onto David, and would he get like a bump up because of extra work, or will he just, like, in other words, right now he's going to be doing something that Gary's not doing, right? Gary will be doing two things. David would fill in for, what was it, the housing?
Well, I mean, that, I guess I should have been a little more clear. It's anticipated he would primarily do the real estate inspections. But, for example, if Gary is out of town and there's a structure fire in the township, Dave Sulpe is fully qualified to do the fire investigation. In fact, as Gary Apgar noted in his endorsement, Dave Sulpe is actually overqualified for fire inspector. He actually meets the full qualifications for fire official, and so he could fill in on any of those topics. I think specific to your point.
Okay.
What I was trying
to figure out is so basically, if the fire inspector retired and David wanted to keep that position, he would just fall right into the same position basically that the current fire inspector has. It's not like he'll be have to add anything to it. It's just basically a lateral move of doing the same work that the current fire inspector is doing.
I think that'll be a future decision when that event occurs. We're not lining up any succession plan at this point. So we'll re-advertise for the position. The committee will set a wage rate for the position, and we'll see who responds.
Okay. Yeah. So in other words, the position would stay the same as it is now. Should the fire inspector, current fire inspector, or retire, the position stays the same. It would be advertised the same unless there was some kind of state statute or something that required us to advertise it otherwise.
Yeah, or unless the committee takes a different decision at the time. But that I think your assumption is probably accurate.
Okay.
So any other discussion, or is there a motion to hire David Sulpe as the township fire inspector at a rate of $28.57 an hour?
I'll make a motion to hire David Sulpe for our township fire inspector at $28.57 an hour.
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Abukowski. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Very good. Couple of other little new business items not on the agenda. First, since we happen to have the opportunity where we are together when the weather forecast says tomorrow looks like a pretty dicey situation, typically, just so everyone knows, typically at 6 or 7 in the morning there's a discussion with Warren on the DPW side and Jamie the administrator, Karen Sendros our clerk, myself as mayor, and we look at the forecasts and we get the first-hand view of what the roads are like, and we decide if we have a delayed opening or if we're going to have to close. Of course, we look at what the state is doing in terms of declaring an emergency and like. Tomorrow is one of those tricky days where my guess is at 8 a.m. The roads are probably passable from the forecast. And again, I'm not a weather expert any more than anyone else is. But what we've seen in these cases are that at 10 a.m., we put people in danger by sending them back on the road to go home. So just in kind of previewing, unless anyone disagrees or thinks we'll get better information in the next 10 hours, should we just close the building for tomorrow? I know other buildings, other companies and things have been closed heading into the storm.
I would agree with that.
Okay. Actually, Matt, since I raised that, should we have a vote on that, or should we just...
I think so, now that it's been put in front of... I mean, in the current weather advisory, the snow overspreads the area early Thursday morning.
Yeah, and that's the problem. We could get people in, but we can't get them home.
Yeah.
So,
You got a lot of hotels around here, so.
Well.
Is that right?
Still going to get it.
I know what I'm going to say.
Firsthand.
Okay, so the attorney just suggested, since the topic is raised, that we have a motion to close the municipal buildings for tomorrow due to a snow emergency.
I make a motion to close the municipal building tomorrow due to snow emergency.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. And then the next new item of business as a discussion point, Mr. Abakowski has asked through the clerk if this committee would consider taking a position on issues outside jurisdiction of the township committee, specifically issues related to the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. I'd like to sort of give my position on the topic, because I think taking a position like that would break the practice that has been in place for this committee for at least more than five years that I've been on the committee. So I want to let the whole committee decide if this is a practice we want to change before we introduce a resolution like that onto the agenda. I believe it served the township well to focus on matters that directly impact all of the township's residents, mainly providing services in the most efficient manner and focusing on local quality of life issues. Occasionally, the committee has passed resolutions where we petition action at the state level, but these have been issues where the interest of all township residents are unified. For example, when we've advocated to keep school funding or to keep the energy receipt tax program fully funded. I believe if we start down the road of endorsing political issues, those where the township's residents are undoubtedly split on which side they support, we would be using this committee platform for political purposes and turn our meetings into a forum for political debate. I do not believe this would benefit the township or, in fact, actually be the best way to advance these specific causes. The way to affect change at the state or national level is to elect candidates that support a given position. Many of us outside of this committee are politically active, and that is where I believe we should individually pursue our goals. Not having Lebanon Township impose the views that we hold as individuals upon all of our residents by attaching our views under the seal of the Township of Lebanon. Especially, we should not be using taxpayer funds and resources, which would be the clerk's time, the attorney's time, and the like, for those funds that we take from residents with a minority view to state that the township has a majority view. At our reorganization meeting, this committee already unanimously passed Resolution 22-2021, which, while we focus on the protection of individual rights, the resolution states that the township supports the rights of all people under the whole Constitution of the United States. So putting forth separate resolutions on individual constitutional amendments would be redundant, and I believe it would be seen as politically divisive. Over my years as mayor, I've been approached by residents pretty regularly who would like the committee to take positions on various national issues. Even in recent weeks, I was asked if the committee would take a position on the Capitol Hill riots, on the impeachment of the former president, etc. And over the past couple of years, the pressure tactic has grown, where the pressure now is said, if your committee doesn't take action, if you're silent, that silence condones the issue that they're opposed to. I think we've been very successful to point out that this committee has not been silent. We support the Constitution in the strongest possible terms in our annual resolution. Last fall, even more specifically, this committee revisited the wording of our resolution when we were requested by a petition signed by 45 residents asking to add language condemning certain behaviors. This committee resolved that we felt it was more productive to emphasize a constructive message of affirming rights rather than condemning selected behaviors. So I'm proud of the township's live and let die character. I believe if this committee takes official positions on political issues outside of our jurisdiction, it would not be in keeping with that character. But with that, I open it up to the committee to decide how we want to proceed on this topic.
May I start my...
Whoever would like to.
Sure, thank you, thank you. I understand your position. However, the world has changed dramatically in the last 5 years. The world has changed dramatically in the last month. People are very concerned about their safety. We have a Washington, D.C. that looks like an armed military camp. You've got 10-foot razor wire around the whole place with thousands and thousands of troops. We've had cities in this country that have been under riots, major cities, Seattle, Portland, St. Louis, Minneapolis, under riots for months and months. People are very concerned about their safety. And I think recently there has been an attack on our First and Second Amendment rights, not necessarily from the government, although I do believe it's from there, but from other areas as well, that try to stifle our First Amendment rights for sure. And now for our Second Amendment rights, the lawyer who defended Trump during his impeachment, he has now had to move his family to safety because of death threats. He has hired armed guards to protect himself. That's in direct violation of his First Amendment rights. And I think that we see a lot of that. We see a lot of that going on, from pressure from the media and pressure from outside organizations. And I think that people have recognized that throughout the country, and I think that politics starts at the local level. It doesn't start at the state or national level. We have to, as citizens, decide what it is important to us from our own safety perspective. There are now 17 states that are permitless carry. More than a third of the states in this country are permitless carry. And there are more now that are coming up in 2021, two that I know of. In the state of New Jersey, eight counties have passed resolutions in support of the Second Amendment, the right to carry, and four towns, even Phillipsburg, has passed the resolution. And I think there is a groundswell now of people who are concerned about these issues and want to make a statement. It's not a political statement. It's a statement of our rights. It's a statement of what we have been granted by the Constitution. And consequently, I think that as more towns or more counties present these kinds of resolutions, that provides impetus now to the state to also move in that direction. And if it is not done, it won't happen, plain and simple. It's not going to happen on its own. It's we the people, and we the people have to make a statement and assert our own rights, period. It's that simple. And I think if we don't, it will allow people to, in effect, because we're not saying anything, we lose them. Or people think that we can be coerced, as I said, it's happening on a national level. So from my perspective, I don't see this as a political thing. I think it is really a statement on our part that we have rights, and we want to assert that these rights exist for us. That we have First Amendment rights and we have Second Amendment rights. We have many, many more, but those are not now in jeopardy. It is these two rights that are the most in jeopardy as we move forward in the future. And I have to say, history has shown these kinds of things happen very quickly. I am a child of the Holocaust. My parents were put into concentration camps, both of them. Both their families were killed. My mother's three children were shot in front of her. Things like this happen, and happen very quickly. And you might say, oh, we're in Lebanon Township, or we're in New Jersey, or we're in the United States, and these kinds of things don't happen. I'll point to D.C. again. Look what's happening in D.C. It's a horrible situation. Who would have thought all the kind of riots we're seeing would have happened this fast? Who would have thought you wouldn't have toilet paper? These things go really quickly. Society degrades really quickly. And again, if you don't take a stand, it's going to happen right in front of your eyes, and you're going to say, what happened?
Any other comments from the rest of the committee? Because I don't disagree with your concerns about our society and trends and the like. My position is that I think change is best done by supporting candidates and the like. To me, we start a slippery slope where we're going to pick that, you know, this is an important issue for us. Then there's going to be, say, two governor candidates, and we're going to say we have to endorse that candidate, and we're going to get in the political game from a township committee where we don't have any jurisdiction. I did review the draft resolutions that you had the clerk send to all of us, and one, I think it was Sussex County, actually said they will spend funds to defend the Supreme Court decisions regarding the Second Amendment. To me, that's not a good use of our taxpayer funds.
I'm not saying that we should spend any money.
And one of the other resolutions you sent, the prime, therefore be it resolved, was that we encourage experts on both sides to discuss the Second Amendment regulations. I just find those. To me, we're opening a can of worms that is beyond the scope of our township jurisdiction for very soft reasons. I encourage everyone, when they're not in this meeting, to fight for their beliefs and their rights. I just don't think it. I don't think it's a good use of taxpayer money. Again, it's not a uniform issue. We won't have 99% of our residents that feel the same way on this. We're pretty much a 60-40 split in our township. So we will be taking tax money from the 40 on one issue to put together resolutions. I'm not saying it's going to be an excessive amount, but there will be money that we're spending for a majority view, call it the tyranny of the majority against that minority. And on other issues, if they come and say, we would like this township on record for their issue, are we going to say, no, we don't even want to go on the record there? So are we every meeting going to have debates on different issues? Or are we going to pass a resolution that says we're only going to consider First and Second Amendment positions so that we can hold? I just don't think it's our place.
Well, I think it's exactly our place. That's what we're here to do.
And that's why we're discussing it.
You know, that's why we're the township committee. That's what we were elected to do. Well, I was appointed, but the rest of you guys were elected. At minimum, we should put together a resolution and put it out for public comment. I mean, I don't have a problem with public comment. It would be a nice idea to see what the public believes in this now.
So also one of the example resolutions, it starts by citing the Heller Supreme Court decision, which seems to be the guiding principle for what is constitutionally acceptable gun regulation. I think, you know, I hear your point that, well, as elected members of the township, we should have an opinion and give our opinion to our residents. I think we have a higher obligation to have an informed opinion. I've not read the Heller Supreme Court decision. I don't know that I'm qualified to interpret and understand it.
I don't think so, this is an issue of interpretation. This is a very simple thing of, you know, do you believe you have First Amendment rights and you have Second Amendment rights? Period.
And I think we have a disagreement on that, because to me the devil is always in the details.
What details? I'm missing the point. I mean, do you believe you have a First Amendment right?
Of course I do. But
okay.
To use the trite example, can I yell fire in a crowded theater?
Well, no, but that's not the issue.
Oh,
that's apples
okay, so
and
there
oranges.
Are. No, no,
no. No,
it's,
no.
It's,
I'm not saying
deal.
we're going to put together a resolution so you can yell apples and yell fire in a theater. That's absurd. What I'm saying is that everybody here understands innately what it means by First Amendment.
I don't on the First Amendment, maybe. I don't know where the line is on inciting violence. You know, we say fire in a crowded theater. That's a cute little example. But there's that whole inciting violence, and I don't use those words to say anything about the impeachment situation. I'm just saying it's possible. Going to gun rights, I'm not an expert on guns. I can say, of course, we're not going to allow machine guns on the back of pickup trucks. The second, but I don't know where the line is
the,
between...
The Second Amendment really talks about... I'll get into it. The Second Amendment talks about being able to defend yourself, personal safety. Not just about guns. You can use baseball bats. You can use anything you want. It's being able to defend yourself.
So the stand your ground laws come out of the Second Amendment.
Yes, they do.
Okay. See, I'm not an expert on this, and that's why I say, for me to have an opinion, I'm going to ask for an education, and I'm going to ask for expertise from people who know what that opinion should be, and I think it's outside the scope of this committee. That's my view.
I understand it. It's your view. I'm presenting my view.
Yep, exactly.
and I strongly believe that we, if we don't do it, if other people don't do it, you're going to lose it.
And I'm not saying nobody should do it. I'm saying everybody should have
a political stance outside
of the committee.
I don't want to make a big deal about it and have major studies. I don't think they're necessary.
I think if we don't, then it's just not really worth the sheet of
how
paper.
How are you going to study this? I mean, I'm misunderstanding how you're going to study this.
That's my point. Can I get a brief that puts the Heller decision into language that I can understand?
Matt, you want to do that?
I don't know that he's a constitutional lawyer, and I don't know that's in the scope of his retirement.
I just say that, certainly something as interesting and as provocative of that is always an interesting topic for lawyers to opine on. There's been obviously thousands of pages of written positions on it. I do say also that the state attorney general has taken action with regard to many of these. So it is as simple and as straightforward as the amendment is. The progeny from there is extensive and varied. So there's no short answer to that question. But I'd be certainly willing to compile it, but again, it can quickly get expensive and time consuming.
But I think what Abe is saying is the loss of rights. I mean, we don't have to go into a deep thought over this. It's a right that we have and a right that's being eroded. And what he's asking is the township to stand up for that right. And he's talking about two rights, the right to free speech and the right to bear arms. And the erosion of those rights, I think, is where he's from. And I have to agree that I don't want to see any of my rights infringed. And that's where I stand. I've wrestled with this discussion for the last few days. I see where the mayor's at. I see the 10 years that I've been here and what has come past me. This is definitely something that is different. But if you remain silent, when is silent at your doorstep? That's what really comes back to my head all the time. So I see the merits of this. I see the merits of the discussion. I see the merits of the public in this discussion. I just don't want to have to spend a volume of money to protect ourselves from something that we've done wrong. But if we're saying that we are just saying we don't want our rights infringed, then I don't think we have a problem. You could correct me.
Well, I obviously would agree with you that nobody wants to willingly sit back and allow their rights to be infringed. The question I have as to what do the individual members of the township committee consider an infringement upon that right? I'm not clear on this. And are we talking about existing state law or proposed state law or federal regulation, or are we just talking about a blanket? Similar to the position we take every January, which is, these are our rights. We support all these rights. Don't take them away. But if we are looking at an analysis of particular actions that are occurring, and I'm not saying we are, but I'm unclear as to what, are we taking a stance as to existing codified statutes or pending legislation in the state? Yeah, we do that all the time. Sometimes we do that, whether it's energy receipts or school funding and things. But there's a difference in that.
Okay.
Everybody here wants to make sure we get our fair share of the energy receipts. At least I presume that. I mean, somebody may say we shouldn't get them. It's just wrong. But that would be a fraction of the people in town. So I just don't – if you can frame that as to what we mean by, you know, what we're defining as that infringement,
well,
that attack.
From the moment today. So okay. What are our rights today? And that's where I'm speaking from. And it's just an effort, I think, by the – well, right now it seems like Abe is pretty sure about his position, and I'm leaning towards that position, that we're saying that the Second Amendment is important enough to us that as today stands, we don't want to lose any more of our rights. I think that's just so simple of a statement. You know, again, I'm a pretty simple guy, too. You know, but I see, I've wrestled with this because the next question is, if we have someone that's concerned over the southern border wall being built, are we going to get into that? I that's what worries me is, when do we say, okay, we believe the First Amendment, the Second, the most important things that we need to discuss, we want a resolution on. Okay. Someone comes, goes to Mark, talks about, I really have an interest, and I have 30 people that have the same interest. Are we going to listen to that? That's where I'm concerned.
Yeah,
you know?
I think for me, the answer to that is none of those things are in the Constitution.
Excuse me?
I said none of those things are in the Constitution. Okay.
I agree. The
Constitution is very specific in this regard.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. These are our rights. We don't have a right to a wall. That's a discussion. That's a right to protect deciding to protect the country. That's an obligation of the President of the United States. All these other things are simply what are the politics. Those are politics. This is not politics. I mean, I don't perceive the Constitution being politics. Constitution are inalienable rights.
And, I don't disagree.
And I do not want them any further eroded. And in order for that not to happen, I would like to put specifically, not just all of the Constitution, I think it's just too general a statement, that we are concerned about our First and Second Amendment rights. And we support those two, want to reaffirm our support for the First and Second Amendment. Now, I don't know how that's going to get us in trouble. I don't know. You know, is somebody going to come in here and says, I don't believe in the Second Amendment?
Well, no, I can't answer that, though, because, you know, we're – obviously there's Abe indicates correctly there's discussions that happen now and things that are happening now that haven't been happening. These types of discussions aren't unique to our municipality. Obviously, counties have taken them on. The question is nobody takes the position that – your rights are being infringed. The position that gets asserted, and particularly in a broad sense, particularly by the current Attorney General of the state of New Jersey, is we have an oath, we have a responsibility to adhere to existing state law, and that their position is, there's being the Attorney General's office, that the laws on the books, and that's why I asked Tom as to what we're talking – are enforceable and are constitutional, and that if we are to declare that – and some towns have, and some counties have across the country – that those restrictions, we're deeming them unconstitutional, that's when there is a challenge that comes from the state as to the enforceability and quite – frankly, the framing of that support. So there's a line. There is a line. Where that line is subject of much debate. And certainly the concept that we have rights and the Constitution grants us rights, and those rights are not to be abridged, is a fundamental concept. And then the reason why there's such extensive scholarship and writing and argument and case law is that as simple as a two-sentence amendment is, There's been hundreds of cases litigating it, not just the Second Amendment or the First Amendment, but that's where I need to be clear as to the intent. If we're espousing that the state of New Jersey currently is infringing upon those rights, or that there's something pending with the state legislature that we are saying will infringe upon those rights, that those types of decisions or positions are subject to greater scrutiny and potential attack directly from the Attorney General.
I don't think we're making any of those statements. I think we're simply, I'll say it again, reaffirming, you know, our rights under the First and Second Amendment, or we reaffirm that we support the First and Second Amendment. Now, I have to tell you that there are a number of states that have already passed laws within the states that they prohibit the state from following any gun confiscation laws made by the federal government. It's already happening. The states are revolting against what's happening on the national level. And it happens from groundswell support, always. And I'm not looking to spend money. I'm not looking to get in a fight with the state. I'm merely looking to make a position statement that we support specifically our rights under the First and Second Amendment. What that means, we don't have to get into. And I'm not making that position.
See, and that's where you lose me, because then it's totally worthless.
Then the one that we put at the beginning of the year is worthless.
Well, no, there we're really focused on protecting people's individual rights.
And which one?
How? Discrimination and the like, but
that's not a constitutional right. That's a law.
But by your logic, then we've already said we support.
No,
we have the Second Amendment.
We absolutely haven't. It's too wishy-washy.
And clearly, we have a difference of opinion here. But
right,
to me,
I agree.
To me, to say, yeah, well, let's put up a resolution that says we support the Second Amendment, and maybe even
spell out the First and Second Amendment.
We even spell those out. Without addressing the subtle points that the attorney mentions, all the scholarly work to say, well,
why do we have to? I don't understand why we have to address it.
Okay, that's your opinion, right? And if you're not going to understand that I have a different opinion,
no, I understand.
It's just high level fluff.
I'm trying to understand yours.
To me, it's just totally naive to say it's not a political point, because we know in the national debate there's one party that's for gun control and another party that's against gun control. We're wading into politics. To me, it's opening a can of worms and creating political division within our township where we have no jurisdiction, and whatever we say isn't going to accomplish anything. I think we should use our energy and our focus outside of this committee to take on the challenges that you're describing. I'm not saying those aren't challenges that have to be dealt with. I'm just saying to put that position under, as I say, the seal of the Township of Lebanon. So the 40% of the town that may have a different view of what it means to support the Second Amendment, we're saying you're the minority. This is the township's position. I don't think that's our place. That's my opinion.
Well,
okay.
To your point, Mike, they can vote us out. They don't like
that's
that.
My yeah. point. They can
they
vote,
can
us,
vote
out.
Us out.
We can vote. We can vote. You know, the governor's debate will be there, and the people will choose a governor that has whatever views that the majority espouses, and I don't think that's my position.
I'm having a hard time understanding when I say I support the Second Amendment how I'm falling into something else that I really didn't say. I just said I support the Second Amendment. Now maybe I hear the word infringement, and what you're saying, there's challenges and laws and scholarly work done on this over, and I get that. But all I'm saying is I support the Second Amendment. I support the First Amendment. I support the Articles of the Constitution. I took an oath. How can I not be for that? I took that oath. I swore. Every one of us did here. That's the problem I get. And I'm not here to cause any kind of adverse condition to Lebanon Township at all. Just made a simple statement. I support the First and Second Amendment. Strongly support them. And I'm wrong for that. I don't think so.
Hey, you guys, can I just say something?
Yeah.
It's Bev.
We were waiting.
I Well, I read what Abe put out there, and the Cumberland resolution kind of covered a lot of what Matt was saying. Like, it affirmed the rights, the federal rights, but then it said, in other words, we're not usurping the state legislative rights in this area. Like, it kind of, if you read that, it covers a lot.
Okay.
The Sussex one was a little bit more, I don't want to say radical, but there was more to the Sussex one. But the Cumberland one, I looked through it specifically for that purpose myself to see where we could get in trouble if we saw, something with the state. But they covered that in there. It might just be worth a read if you guys haven't read it.
No, well, if you notice, I referred to that earlier as that's the one that resolved that people talk. That was, therefore be resolved that people talk about gun regulation. And I'm saying that's not particularly, I don't think that's worth the time to put a resolution like that together. It's my opinion. But that's why we're looking.
I look at everything we pass here, and as we, going through the whereases and that, and I understand the whole point of the first, I understand Abe's intent of wanting to affirm the First and the Second Amendment and that we're for it. But what's the whereas? What are we, if we're just stating we're for the First and Second Amendment, all of us can make a statement that we're for the First and Second Amendment, and it carries as much weight as anything else. But why are we for that? What are we reinforcing it for? Are we for it because we didn't like the fact that the Murphy passed you can't get armor-piercing bullets? I mean, what changed to make us make this statement? And that's where my confusion is I don't know what part of our rights were eroded away or are changing on the state level to force us to make this. We make the statement at the beginning of the year reaffirming the constitutional rights and the protections of the people in our community, and then we state it because we're protecting them against harassment and bigotry, and we're making that statement for all of our employees that we don't accept that behavior from our employees or our volunteers. And here's what rights, and this is, why, and I I support it. I mean, it's the Constitution. I support the whole aspect of it. But I want to understand, why am I going to pass a resolution? What are we fighting for in that resolution other than, that it's the Constitution? I mean, on a state level, we elect who we want to elect, be it Doherty, DeMeo, to help fight at the state level, and they're going to fight for that and that other end of legislature. And our end of it, to Mike's point, is we have a mixed, fairly equal, 60-40 community, and we want to be able to go to those neighbors that don't agree 100% with us, and they can feel like they can also come to us and don't feel that we are one way. I've already had people, just because I'm a Republican, basically shun me, just because I have Republican. Don't even care who I am. Mm-hmm.
Is that right?
Family members.
Well, is that right?
It's not.
That's the problem.
I've taken a lot of offense by that fact to actually make me go, what? So, and I understand, to that point, I see the change and I see the effect, but I don't know the exact route what's the best route to try to do that, and sometimes doing something like this,
best route,
putting a bigger target on my back.
It's to stand up for what you believe in.
And
otherwise,
what
you believe in is going to be gone.
And I understand that. And I think, but we're also standing up here for everybody in our community for what they believe in. Not just one group of people. And I think that statement, if it's just a, I don't think anybody in the community, if we're just saying the First and Second Amendment, we support them, is going to have a big argument with me for just stating that. And I have no problem stating I support the First and Second. But why are we supporting it? What is the reason that is we're fighting for that's happening on the state level or happening? Is there a law? Is there something that's changing that we need to make our statement as a community that's being taken away? Like, is what legislature, be it A5321, what are we fighting against? Whenever we've done something in the past,
It's for or against a specific legislature that's sitting in front of our state representatives. And I, otherwise, like I said, it's just a fluff statement, in my opinion.
Well, I mean, President Biden is planning on all kinds of gun laws. He's already got them going. He's going to do, he's going to attempt executive orders for gun confiscation. That's what we're fighting against.
And so it is political. And 40% of our town is going to support that.
If our good.
60% won't.
That's why.
And we have no jurisdiction over it either way. So
that's why.
I mean, we're bringing politics into this committee. National politics.
Not national politics. All politics are local. I'll say it again. It starts here. It doesn't start from the top down, because that's dictatorial. It's a representative of the people. We decide what we want, and we have our rights. And all I'm doing is positioning our rights. And if we don't state what we believe, you know, then it'll be as Mark says, and the people who have the loudest voice and can scream and yell and intimidate you are the ones that are going to get it done. I don't want to be intimidated.
I don't either, and I don't enjoy it. I mean, quite frankly, I've gotten more hate thrown at me in the past 6 months because I'm a Republican than anything else in my life.
And is that good? Because you have a political position, you know, you're hated. Is that tolerance?
No. And I understand that. And but if I'm going to make a statement, I want to make it more than just, you know, yeah. So I support the Constitution and everything it stands for. But what am I, you know, what specific language are we saying we're fighting against and making that stance? Because it is something we're making a representation of this community. So,
well, that's why I'm asking for it as a public debate. Let's find out what the community wants. If the community doesn't want Second Amendment rights, that's what the community wants. It's okay. A democracy.
So on that, going to that subject a little bit, if we're going to turn our committee meetings into a discussion of broader national topics like that, we've discussed over the years, for example, limiting public comment, and I'm told we can do that if we pass a resolution and have a policy where we set up a 3-minute timer, and if you know bigger venues, county and the like, 3 minutes for a public comment, and if you're not done in 3 minutes, the microphone goes off. I believe you can also set up a total time limit where 60 minutes total. Is that correct, Attorney Lyon?
That's a little more difficult depending on the turnout, and you have to be careful as to infringing upon an individual's right to take a position. So,
but my point is, if we're going to turn this forum into these committee meetings into a forum for debating as many issues as people may want to debate, because I don't know how we limit it to say, well, the first and second are really the important ones, and somebody's going to come along and say, well, no, there are others that are just as important to them, and I think we open it up to all of those. But I think we then should also put in policies to limit so that we have a practical. I mean, we're going to need a bigger room. We're going to need bigger venues.
Right
now, we're not. But
how many people can fit on that thing?
On this call-in? I think it's thousands. I think
it's
conference calls. Okay.
How much?
Thousands of people could dial in.
I don't think we're going to get that many people.
But the point is, do we stay till midnight? Do we stay till 2 in the morning? What's our requirement if the whole town wants to voice this?
That's hard to answer because you hear two sides that have a strong argument and the other side has their argument.
Yeah.
So when you have a discussion that you know,
but we're also mixing apples and oranges here, because I'm not debating the Second Amendment here. I'm debating whether this committee is the right forum to debate that.
And
what I see happening is, if we're going to start discussing national topics in this committee meeting, we should assume that we've got a very active, well-educated group of residents, and I don't believe we can exclude non-residents, and we're going to turn into a forum for those discussions. Which, if that's what a majority of the committee rules or votes for, that's what we do. But I think it's going to cost resources. I think it's going to change this committee significantly in areas where we don't have jurisdiction, in areas where we can't affect change. I think the change is better done by focusing ourselves on campaigns outside of this committee, to get people elected who can make those changes. Because all we're really doing is we're passing something on a piece of paper and passing it up the chain and say, we think, you know, Trenton here, we think you should do this.
Well, we're passing it up to the county from here. You know, the county should know how we feel so that they can take a position as well. And then from there it goes up. But let me just ask from a procedural perspective. If we develop a resolution, doesn't it go before the public to comment normally?
I mean, it goes on the agenda.
On the agenda. And then they'd have a chance
Both
portions of public comment to talk about it.
Exactly. Yeah. Isn't that how it would normally occur? I mean, I agree with you. We don't want to be here until 1 in the morning. You know, I mean...
But there's no way to stop that discuss those. And you may prefer that, and I'm saying I don't. I don't think that's a good use of our resources to do that.
To listen to the township and understand what they feel and think? That's exactly what I want to do.
But it's a topic that we have control over. You know, if we were talking about paving the roads or chipping them, oiling them, I would stay here. We've had those meetings.
Yeah.
You know,
had those meetings that have gone on for hours.
Right.
That pertain to decisions.
I've sat through GenSite meetings so you know, and I have no problem sitting here when it's something that my decision is going to directly have an impact on what this town's doing. And I think this is something that's just, it's a position statement for a group that we can't, it's not going to change gun control in our town.
The intent is not to change gun control in our town. The intent is to put a position statement on so that the county, you know, if enough towns within the county pass resolutions like that, or enough counties within the state pass resolutions like that, it sends a message to the state. It tells state representatives who want to go to be voted on that a lot of the people have this feeling within the state. And that's my point, and that's why I say that all politics are local. It's a groundswell effort always, you know. Otherwise, you're by keeping quiet, it exactly what has happened in New Jersey happens. But other states are not keeping quiet. Other counties are not keeping quiet. And other towns are not keeping quiet. And I don't see a reason why we should keep quiet.
I think I've given 10 reasons, and if you don't see them, you don't see them. That's fine. I see 10 reasons, you see none. You know,
I see 10 the other direction.
And please don't tell me I don't want to listen to residents, because I do want to listen to residents. I just don't think this is the forum, as Mark articulated well, to hash out where the residents are on some of these topics. I think that should be done in campaigns for other offices where there is jurisdiction. I'll just say it again.
Okay.
And I think if we are, but I'm also very convinced if the committee wants to make this a forum for these discussions, we should anticipate much more participation and long discussions on these topics, because they're not easy. As we're seeing among ourselves, just trying to discuss if we should discuss it, it's not easy.
Very true.
And I'm also prepared, it wasn't on the agenda tonight. I'm not pushing for a vote tonight on what we do. We can end the discussion and table it and put it on the next week's agenda when we all take some time to think about it.
That's fine.
But you know, that's why I just wanted to introduce the topic, and we can all air where we think the issues are that have to be thought through.
Personally, I would not take a vote on this unless it was on the agenda, because you need to have public comment agenda items only. Otherwise, we're going to take a vote, and then it's going to be done before the next public comment.
Yeah.
So I think it has to be on the agenda. So that gives us some time.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I do too. I think that we're on notice now. This will be out. People will start talking about it, and we'll see what happens at the next meeting.
But to be clear, the topic...
There's one thing, as I'm listening to this, there was one thing, though, the 60-40. Mike, when you were talking about the 40%, 60%, I'm not looking for specifics on that, but were you talking Democrats versus Republicans?
Right. That's what I was drawing.
Because you can't even make assumptions about that, because there were people that say to me, just because I'm a Democrat, don't think I don't have a gun.
Understood. And I think you'll find Republicans that don't have a gun as well. So it was to point out that it's not a 99% issue. There's going to be a significant minority, and I don't know if it's 20% or 40%, but it's a significant number of people, residents, who are going to differ on this. That's why it is a topic to discuss. So, and now, just to be clear, I think what we need to discuss at the next agenda is not a specific resolution on the First or Second Amendment, but the policy of whether we're going to discuss topics beyond the scope of our jurisdiction. I think that's to me, that's the first decision we need to make. That's what we'll discuss and try to vote on next meeting.
Okay, but that assumes it's not our jurisdiction.
I don't know. That's well,
and I don't accept that it's not our jurisdiction.
Okay. Matt,
yeah, I mean,
I'm asking
I don't
the attorney.
Think we should start boxing
just a second, Bev.
What we talk about.
Okay, Bev, just a second. Can I ask the attorney, do we have any ability to make laws regarding firearms?
No. This isn't a law. No. I'm not asking to make a law.
Or regulation or stat or do anything regarding firearms. That's why I say that's out of our jurisdiction.
That is out of our jurisdiction.
I'm using the word jurisdiction. You agree with me.
I think that goes to what I don't know if it was Tom or Mark said, that what is the now therefore be it resolved? Yeah. And now therefore be it resolved is what?
Right. Is that I reaffirm our support for the First and Second Amendment.
What,
of
no,
the
let's
Constitution of the United States.
If you,
what's so hard about that?
You said when I said, I'm looking for the right words, if we're going to expand the scope of our meetings outside our areas of jurisdiction, and you said, no, it's not outside our areas of jurisdiction.
No, no different than...
And that's why I'm trying to clarify what I mean by jurisdiction. I mean an area where we could pass ordinances that affect...
Want to pass an ordinance.
Okay. So
merely want to make...
You're using jurisdiction as an area where we can have an opinion and influence. Of course, we can have comments and opinions on anything.
Right.
I'm trying to say, do we keep our meeting agendas to areas where we have jurisdiction as a way to define what we're going to talk about? You know, and I'm saying if we can't make laws about gun rights, then we shouldn't have a resolution on gun rights. If we can't make laws about global warming, I don't know if we could or not.
Well, true. And I guess that's the point. If we are taking positions regarding issues, not the municipal budget, not the purchase of a fire truck, but something that then I do think we are absolutely, it's incumbent upon us to then be content neutral. If there is another topic that people want us to take a position on, that we need to at least consider it. Doesn't mean we need to support it.
That's right.
But we
right.
need to then have that discussion
but
also.
This resolution would be a non-binding resolution, right? I mean, it's a resolution, but it's not binding because we're not making a law. We're not altering a law.
If that's what's being proposed, yeah. I mean, again,
right?
It's because
it's non-binding.
It
I don't see what the
to
big
me,
deal
you're
is.
Overthinking this. Talk
really
about
don't.
Overthinking.
That's
I know. I understand Mike's point. Non-binding. Why bother? I understand Mark's part. Why bother? But to me, either we change our reaffirmation we do in the beginning of the year to include other things to make it a little bit stronger, or we look at a resolution that's non-binding. We're not making laws. We're not making an ordinance. We're not saying we're changing anyone's laws. We're just saying this committee, whatever the vote comes out, supports the First and Second Amendment. It's such a simple thing.
Well, if I can clarify, because you said why bother. I'm not saying why bother.
Okay.
I'm saying it would have a value.
All right. I used the wrong words.
But let me finish. Mm-hmm. I'm saying at what cost is that value? The cost that I see is that we're going to have to open ourselves up for discussing a variety of issues. We're going to create a more divisive local environment.
I don't know if it would be divisive or not. It might do the town good to talk about things that are boilerplate bothering people. You know what I mean?
We can each have our opinion on that. I don't.
We might have it. I don't know.
I don't disagree. It's good to talk. And I'm saying I believe we should talk in political campaigns, not at this committee, not at this committee level.
That's a whole other issue that we could get into. You know, how formidable is our voting right now? You know, I don't want to go there. But
exactly. That's,
you know, where are we at? That's the problem.
Yep.
I think that's where this comes from, is sit silent, it's at your doorstep. Say something, get the discussion going, I don't know. Maybe versus, it's the wrong road to take down. Maybe it is.
Versus tyranny of the majority. One or two elections, if the political representation on this committee shifts, we'll have opened the door to have resolutions supporting other positions, and then we'll be in a minority saying, I can't believe my town is supporting this or that.
That's democracy.
That's what I'm trying to avoid.
But that's democracy. What can you do about that?
And that, to
I mean,
me,
I don't like half of the stuff that goes on in the state now, but
And I'm saying we should elect different people if we don't like what's going on at the state.
They elected us. They elected us.
Nobody. I didn't run on my positions on national issues.
No, nor did I.
But. I mean, I ran to try to keep taxes as reasonable as possible while delivering good services, the right, my judgment for police, for snowplowing.
But you took an oath to defend the Constitution.
I did. And when I defend the Constitution, that means, I look to the attorney, that means the written Constitution as interpreted by the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and not to say, I don't like that decision of the Supreme Court, so locally we're not going to defend it. No, we're takers.
But that is not my position at all. My position, again, we're overthinking this thing, is very simple. I reaffirm our support for the First and Second Amendment. That is not difficult. That, if people, the only thing that somebody can say against it is, I don't affirm my support for the First and Second Amendment. That's the only thing you can say against it.
Each of us has to vote our conscience. My conscience says that I need to think and understand what I'm in favor of, and the four lines of the Second Amendment are great, but if I'm going to be on record, I'm going to want to know, what do I really mean by that? Do I mean we should have militias and we should have machine guns? No, of course not. Well, does that mean we should have armor-piercing bullets? I have no idea. Without a real education, I have no idea. And why I should have a better opinion to go tell our residents, this gun law is
better. As a citizen of this town, state, country, you have a valid opinion. Whatever your opinion is a valid opinion. You're allowed to have it. You don't have to have somebody else develop an opinion for you. And that's the whole point.
But as an elected official, I take a responsibility to have an educated opinion. If I were sitting in my home, I can have an opinion on anything I want. But now I'm representing 6,500 people in this township and telling them, here's why I have that opinion. And I'm saying that's going to take me work and understanding, and it's beyond the scope of what I think we're representing here. I keep saying the same thing.
I know, and I do
but,
too.
And when we at the beginning of the year, when we talk about the Constitution and the other, and we state we support the Constitution in its broadest terms, and that means every piece of it. And that's where we're in this scenario. We're narrowing that window to these two pieces, and it's kind of like, why? And it's like, what is the point of that? And like I said, I tried to go back with some of the articles that were put forward and try to figure out from those people that, because most of this happened last year, with these passing of these resolutions and everything back in 2019 when Murphy had added six items to the legislature, one being getting rid of armor-piercing bullets, changing magazines to 10, bigger, more stringent background checks, eliminating, mental health issues, items, all of which I don't see a huge problem with. I don't want somebody that's mentally ill getting a gun, and armor-piercing bullets, last time I checked, I don't think I've ever seen a deer with armor on. So
if I can interject, again, you say mentally ill people shouldn't have a gun. That's reasonable. But then when you go into the details, can one person declare somebody mentally ill and put a 10-day hold or 60-day hold? That's where it goes into the detail. How do you determine? Do you need a medical diagnosis, or can a neighbor say, they seem crazy, and you put a red flag on them, and that's what I'm not qualified to have an opinion on. That's what I absolutely fear, losing rights. But I think that has to be done by getting our state assembly people and others. That's not even a county level. That's a national level. And right. That's why I say, to
and
me,
I,
Yeah.
To me, it takes us down a road where one day it's going to be issue after issue, and how do we not turn this into a much broader forum than it currently is? And
yeah.
And we can all decide. Maybe we want it to be.
No.
Whatever the majority comes to. I'm saying that's not my view.
This issue happens to be a constitutional issue. All the others that we're talking about are not constitutional
issues. I think you could argue, somebody's going to come and argue everything derives out of the Constitution. I'll find a constitutional argument for anything.
Right.
And all these things stemmed from changes at the state level, not the, you know, it was they felt from the way I read all the articles, and again, you've got slants of news media and everything else, so you got to take it with a number of grains of salt nowadays, is that, you know, there's the interpretation of here is the Second Amendment, here's what the state did, they're infringing on that, so we're making this position that we feel the state is infringing on the Second Amendment rights, and I think that's we're falling into this scenario where when we make that statement, it is a political statement.
It is.
And we're stating that we're disagreeing, even if we don't state it in there, the meaning is put forward that we are supporting the Second Amendment as its whole, which is, in my opinion, also then saying a disagreement with what is happening on the other end of it in the state level. And that may be what you're saying.
Can't we disagree?
Yeah, no, I mean, the Equal Protection Clause can be subject to a very broad interpretation. Yeah.
And
to
and
support
I disagree.
Many of these
you know,
things.
That's my position. My feeling is, yes. Do I agree with it? Yes. But I don't feel... This is why I was elected to be here. I was elected by people that I feel that, you know, I could walk up to, you know, anybody in the town and discuss.
Except the ones who think you're a Republican.
And what's funny is the ones that, you know, that the highly educated ones are the good ones, and it's some of the ones that are just, you know. But anyway. It's. I'm here for all the people, and I want to be, and that's where I want to make my view. And I feel making a statement like that, there is even whether you there is a therefore resolve that has some political, it will have a political ramification, no matter how you put it, because it is putting forward a microscope on those two items, and. It creates that political aspect. And like I said, I want to be able to have discussions about, in this town, you know, what I can control. You know, if it be, you know, buying, purchasing land for the community to enjoy, be it, you know, paving a road, be it moving a ditch, be it, you know, cutting down trees or not cutting down trees or improving the park and just having... That's why I came here. I didn't aspire to be on the county what is it now? They're not freeholders.
Commissioners.
or a assembly person or anything like that. That's where you get into more of this nitty-gritty, this that end of it, and understanding constitutional law and all that. That's not why I got here. I got here to work with the people in the town they live in, and leave that stuff further up the chain. You know, if they came to me, you know, and I, you know, probably at least, you know, under normal circumstances, once or twice a year, I'll see DeMeo or Doherty or at some event, but in the past year, not so much, but, and, you know, we'll have conversations about this, that, or the other thing, and I'll make them understand where, you know, if they ask me about it, I'll give them my opinion. But I'm talking for everybody in this town, and I don't feel I can legitimately make that statement for everybody in the town because some people in the town will feel it is a political statement for one party or the other. And while it really shouldn't be, it will be construed that way. Okay, I'm
sorry. I was going to say before you got into the political part of that, Mark, I'm thinking as you're talking – I mean, there are people in town that even if you mention open space, they say, well, doesn't anybody want ratables? Ratables, now we're rolling ratables off the books. So everybody's got different opinions on everything, but you have to stand for something.
But I have control over that.
Stand for.
I have control over if it's a ratable or not ratable. I can make that decision. I can make the argument on what my stance is and why I support open space
for to somebody in public, because my vote is going to have a direct response on what is being, where our money is being spent and why it's being spent. I can make a statement on Second Amendment and say, hey, I support the Second Amendment, but at the end of the day, that vote, that statement is as worthless as a piece of toilet paper I put down the toilet, in my view, you know, because it doesn't carry any weight forward. You know,
I don't know about that.
I
hear what you're saying. I hear that, same with me. When I got on here, I didn't have any aspirations about any national statements or anything like that. Barely was able to survive my first year here, you know. But I do find that this here municipal government is the purest form of government, where the people can interact with us directly. And I do also feel that, as Abe has said, there's changes that have happened through the course of the last, there's always changes. But there's been some significant changes that maybe most folks don't want to see, or I can't really tell who would ever want to see what I've seen on television, stuff like that. And that talk about free speech, is there any journalism in this country anymore? Is anyone really an investigative reporter and give you anything like that? I think free speech is probably more important to me right now than the Second Amendment, but they both matter to me. I can't just not say anything. I have to say something. But I agree. I don't know if it's in the realm of what I do here. I was elected to do the business of the township. So the question is that business of the township? I get what you're saying. I've wrestled with this. I strongly support, and I've said it before, I stand for the flag, and I strongly support the Constitution and its amendments, as well as the Declaration of Independence, all of them, the founding papers of this country. I know this is not what we're debating, but when we can't look it and say it, and I can't make a simple statement that I support the Second Amendment, I'm confused.
And I'm not saying you can't. And I'm not saying not to. I just don't see the reason.
I get that
behind it.
And I see the reason.
And I mean, as a community, you know, this argument started in the state well over a year ago. If you look at all
this, it's been going on for quite some time.
You know, and the towns that started making these statements were over a year ago, and so you know this conversation amongst us is late to that game. And I sit here and go, okay, it's been well over a year, and out of 530 municipalities, only four have done it.
And eight counties.
Well, municipalities. There's four municipalities out of 530 municipalities in the state that have actually
done it. It's just starting.
So, but it hasn't. It's been over a year. So a lot of this stuff happens, as you say, quickly. It hasn't taken off, because I think there's a lot of other towns that have gone, this really isn't our area that we should be having this discussion. So
we'll put it on the agenda for next meeting.
Okay.
Unless anybody has any summary comments,
nope.
It'll be on the agenda. Which takes us to the highlight of tonight's meeting.
The vouchers.
Oh, the vouchers.
I guess
presentation
I
of vouchers.
Okay, I'll start with vouchers. My first one is for Patriotic Office Cleaning for January... for the library, for the police department, municipal building, for $1,520. Then I have another one for Patriotic Office Cleaning for December of last year for police department, library, and the municipal building. And that was for $1,680. Then I have one for Animal Control, Laura Roerig, for August 1st, 2020 to January 31st, 2021 for $3,248. I have one for Lawman Supply Company for a ballistic vest for $1,355.32. That is all that I have that apply.
I have one for Reed Systems. Seems like this is parts and stuff for DPW, $1,313.50. I have another one for Smith Motor, major maintenance on the 2008 Ford pickup for a total of $4,680.12. Asphalt purchases through H&K Group, Warren Asphalt, 2000 $559.82. Warshero generator, the service of the three generators for tune-up and checkup on all three, $2,775. Membership into the co-op, the MCC, Morris County Co-op Purchasing. The membership fee for the year 2021 is $1,250. Homestead Landscaping. This is for the contract on Winding Brook Lane and Pine Ridge for December 2020 and January 2021. Total of $12,740. Griffin Allied Trucking. This is for diesel fuel for the DPW, $2,983.81. And this is fuel oil for multiple buildings. It looks like fuel oil for the Fire 2, mostly for Fire 2 and some for Fire 1, $2,815.61. And this is C&M Auto Parts. This is parts for repairs on our equipment, $1,328.18. And another one for C&M Auto Parts, also brakes, calipers, so on and so forth, $1,218.45. You can see we've been snow plowing. National Auto Fleet Group. Now, these are the two purchases of the two Silverado pickups, and the total for the two pickups was $93,764.78. That's it.
I've got New Jersey State Health Benefit Plan for the month of January, $33,313.63. New Jersey Division of Employer Accounts, this is for unemployment insurance, and this would get reimbursed from the schools. It's related to the SLEO officers that had to not work at the school, $9,033.40. Statewide Insurance Fund, installment one of the four annual payments for workers' compensation and our umbrella, $50,604. County of Hunterdon, first quarter county tax, including added and omitted, $764,113.56. County of Hunterdon open space tax for the first quarter, $70,199.74. Ardito and Company, the township auditor, first 25% installment payment, $7,912. General Code Publishers for annual maintenance fees, $1,195. LMR Disposal from the fall cleanup, $1,679.74. Monmouth Telecom for the month of December and January, $1,323.40. R&L Data Centers, this is for payroll, total payroll fees, $1,610.55. U.S. Bank Custodian, this is tax sale certificate 201803 that was approved in a prior meeting, $27,100. Another tax sale certificate, certificate number 2001902 in the amount of $50,200. Tax sale certificate 2001902, the additional payment of $42,025.22. And tax sale certificate 201803 in the amount of $57,431.62. Yeah.
Okay, I've got to the Hunterdon County Library tax for $73,762.81. January school tax of $904,465.67. General legal services to Gephardt and Kiefer for $2,084. And that's it. And that's the total, I guess.
Okay, I have none that apply.
Okay, so the total voucher list is $2,265,679.76. Is there a motion to approve the voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the voucher list.
Second.
Roll call.
Second.
Yes.
Yes.
Ms. Kohler, over to you.
Oh, I didn't hear Abe. Okay, yes.
And yes. Sorry about that. Okay. Correspondence, two items. First is a monthly police report.
So we talked about the police report. Eric sent me this. This is January. It doesn't say January. This is just for the month of January, that police report you have. Whatever reason, the one I sent to Karen was corrupted, so it had that. But
okay.
So expectation is he's going to send this every month to me, and as we go along, it's in Excel format. I'll tweak it and make it a chart and graph so we could see trends or non-trends.
I think that's great. Yeah, that's wonderful.
Can you send me a copy of that?
Not you.
Any other comments on the police report? Otherwise, next correspondence is a similar report from the fire department.
Yeah, the fire department has given us a report for the month of January, and just some highlights. There was 54 incidents, 39 were emergency medical services, and 15 were fire-related. And they talk about mutual aid. They've provided mutual aid 11 times, received it 10 times. And they have they've been awarded a grant. They received word that FEMA, that we have been awarded a fiscal year 2020 Assistant to Firefighters Grant-COVID-19 Supplement. The grant project was written by our own membership and is earmarked for reusable isolation gowns for our EMTs, and they meet the CDC's minimum requirements and can be washed up to 75 times, so I think they get more use out of those gowns over a longer period of time. And he wants to go on to talk about that the large storm we had, and they had increased staffing level that was on staff from 1 p.m. Sunday through 6 p.m. Tuesday, and they had two dedicated EMS crews and a dedicated fire crew that was standing by during that storm. And they want to thank the DPW for on their scene helping to ensure that the roads and also some of the driveways were plowed out to get the ambulance into these driveways. So it's good to see the fire company and the DPW working together like that. So I hope this report continues, hopefully on a monthly basis.
So that's it for correspondence.
Hey, Mark?
Yes.
I didn't get a chance to ask. On the police report, what is on the patrol vehicles, what is the 19-1, 19-10? Is that the vehicle number?
That's the
vehicle
number, yes. So on the side of the vehicle.
Okay, so like what happens?
If you look on the side of the vehicles, they have a number. That number is on the side. So 19 is our town, and then the -1 is the actual vehicle number.
Okay, so what happens to like 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9? Like, did we ever have them in that succession? Or?
I believe we did. We just don't have them anymore.
Okay, that's what I was just wondering.
Probably cycled out.
What the logic was with the numbering system.
I think they cycle back around, too. We don't go to, like, vehicle 100. So I think if I remember, Jack telling me one time, they hit a number and then they go back around again. Because we're never going to have X amount of vehicles, so there's no point in making three-digit numbers on the side of our vehicles.
Yeah, makes sense.
Okay, so next on the agenda is the public comment for any topic anyone would like to bring up. Again, remind people you'll have to press *6 to unmute yourself. The meeting is recorded and posted on the website. Is there a motion to open a public comment?
Make a motion to open the public comment.
I'll make a motion to open a public comment.
Sorry.
Second.
Ladies roll call?
First. Yes.
Voting?
Yes.
Voting?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry.
Ms. Kohler?
Yes.
Yes. This time, the meeting is open to any member of the public who would like to make a comment. Again, press *6 to unmute yourself. Please identify yourself, the road you live on.
Hello, Brian Wonder, One Wonder Lane.
Hello, Brian.
Can you hear me?
A little bit.
Speak up.
You can speak up a little bit.
All right, let me take it off speak. How's this, better?
That's better, I think.
Okay. 19-1 to Bev's point, that would always be the chief, by the way. Wow, you guys said so much, it was hard to keep up and write notes. I'd like to thank Committeeman Abe Abakowski for his courage. I agree pretty much completely with his narrative. It was quite a disturbing night, I thought, because it's time to show courage and not just say you support the Second Amendment or the First Amendment. This is a chance to show where you really stand. I'd like to see this eventually get passed. I don't think it needs to be a big, complicated thing. It is a Second Amendment. We're not reinventing the wheel. We're just agreeing with it, although, yes, we do agree with others. But this is now under attack, and Abe is correct. That's really as condensed as I can say it without getting too far into the weeds. So thank you for what you do, and have a good night.
Thank you very much. Anyone else in the public who would like to make a comment? Again, star 6 to unmute yourself.
Hi, my name is Frank McCluskey on Slaker Road. Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Hello?
Frank, you're on. He
must unmute himself.
Hello, Mr. McCluskey. We heard you, but you've disappeared. Let's see if there's anyone else. We'll see if we'll come back to Mr. McCluskey if he gets back on the line. Anyone else from the public who would like to make a comment? Frank, are you back on the line?
Make sure they're hitting star 6.
Yeah, star 6 to unmute yourself. Make sure your phone is unmuted. And we're not hearing anyone. If anyone's trying to speak, we're not hearing.
Okay, are we good?
Yes, now we hear you again.
Okay, good. Yep, I was just calling to support Abe and what he was representing and talking about the Second Amendment platform. And I know it got already like a heated discussion going about this, but there's been several other cities, counties that have moved ahead with this. Back in 19, I think it started up until 2020. So there is a precedent for this and a platform already in place. And I'm sure it's not as easy as it could be just to say this, but there's something already put in place that this was done by many townships, and amazingly so it's in Peaburg. So I know there's many people in this township that would be behind this for sure. I don't know how many people are aware of the meeting tonight, but if it can be put on a platform for a public vote, put forward, do some research and find out how this can be accomplished, then I think the township would like to have a voice and to make a vote on which way this should go.
Okay, thank you. Anyone?
Thank you.
Any other member of the public? We're not hearing anyone. If anyone's trying to speak, again, star 6 to unmute yourself. Hearing no one else making a comment, is there a motion to close public comment?
I make a motion to close public comment.
Is there a second? Looking for a second?
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.